I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome back to Radio Times. How many times have you said this to yourself? Next month, I'm going to get back into shape. I'm getting back on the stationary bike at my local gym. I'm taking up tennis again. I'm joining a running club. I'm going to walk 10,000 steps a day. It's easy to neglect exercise and fitness to let months, even years, go by without breaking a sweat. But once you decide to get more active and be more active, how do you sustain it? How do you make it a routine? How do you make it a regular part of your life? Well, today on Radio Times, taking steps, even baby steps, towards your fitness goals. And we have two guests who have joined us here in our Philadelphia studio. Margaret Ottley is a professor of sports psychology at Westchester University School of Kinesiology. She has advised the Olympic teams of the USA and Trinidad and Tobago, also a member of the board of the Black Women in Sport Foundation, and she's a certified consultant with AASP, that's the Association for Applied Sports Psychology. And Margaret Ottley, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
You're very welcome.
It's
good to be here.
Nice to have you here. Also with us is Abby Hartnett. She's a recreation and fitness coordinator at Thomas Jefferson University, also a certified group exercise instructor and personal trainer. And Abby, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Let me start with you, Abby. But Margaret, I want to make sure we get you in on the conversation as well.
Yeah.
I was thinking, are fitness goals kind of like diets in that we, you know, we go on a diet, we say we're going to lose 10 or 15 pounds, it works for a while, then we kind of go off the diet, we make a mistake, and then we give up, and then we're back to our old habits. Is that sometimes true, you think, with the goal of getting or staying fit?
I think so. I think, first of all, I'm not for diets at all. I'm for lifestyle changes.
There you go.
So I think goals are kind of the same way. If your goal is to change your lifestyle, I think that will work. But it's a huge step, and that's why I say there's a lot of little steps you have to take before that. But I mean, it is good to have goals. It's good to have short-term and long-term goals for sure, to kind of keep you on track. And a goal can be something as simple as I want to run a 5K.
Right.
So you sign up for the 5K and you're a little more
motivated
and you have something to work towards. You don't want to lose that $50, So I think a diet, on the other hand, is a little bit harder and easier to fall off of, for sure.
Yeah. How about for you, Margaret? I mean, many people have the best intentions of getting more active, of getting more fit, and for whatever reason, they don't follow through. How come?
Well, those are my kind of people. I love them.
You love them.
Because they're
okay.
Real. Life is a struggle.
It's an internal struggle.
Yes. And I even will claim the diet metaphor because it's really, if we redefine what diet really means, it is about health. It's about wellness. It's about eating the things that you really love. And that's what exercise should be. It should start with something that you really, really love doing. If you like swimming, then that should be a major part of your diet. Yeah, if you like running or just walking outdoors, I'm an outdoors person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the gym doesn't work well for me.
Me neither.
You see, we're the ordinary people out there. Yeah. So it's really my field is about mental discipline. So we know we all have a good idea of what we need in order to be successful and to be the best person that we could possibly be. So what we need now is to learn how to channel that.
But what about people that just say, I don't want to do it. I'm just going to live with who I am, and I'll just live with the consequences. You, Margaret, and then for you, Abby. What do you say to them?
The average Joe there, Jane, would say, they don't have enough time, the muscle soreness. You'd hear them talk about, the weather is not really good. I don't like the cold weather. The sun is too hot. We get I'm too tired. You have children, that one child might be a handful.
And these are real, right?
They're real. And we must claim that first. We must claim and say, this is the reality of our situation. A lot of times we try to have these grander ideas that, look at what we're seeing on TV and people are hitting the gym and it's so easy and it's 3 to 5 days a week. And we just is struggling to get up. So for me, it's I like the idea of exercise as medicine. It does great things to the body. But the body performs with out of habit.
Right.
So
right.
All the good hormones, the serotonin and endorphins, that is what movement and exercise would do.
Well, I want to pick up on that. Let me go back to you, Abby, just in terms of, as you said, you pay your $50 or whatever to go run the 5K. But how do you get to that point?
Right. And that's the hardest part.
It is the hardest
taking
part.
Taking that first step. Especially if self-motivation isn't one of your big strengths. That's what I find. You have to find something, again, like Margaret said, that you love doing. You have to find something that's going to fit into your life, not be like this burden on your life. So, I mean, there's endless options. And I think so many people dread the idea of, walking into the gym. And if you if you dread that, then that's not what's for you, And we're lucky we're in Philadelphia. We have all these niche, gyms and studios opening up. Like I recently joined a boxing gym and I love it. And, I only go once a week, but it adds a little mix into my exercise regimen as is. So I think if you take a small step and try something new that you might like, that maybe would be an alternative to just joining a gym.
Well, and I think some people at gyms just say, look, I don't want to go to a gym because I don't want people to see me.
Of course
you're saying, go ahead, Margaret.
Body image, it's funny because I just had surgery. I'm three months from surgery, now it's even for me who I think myself concept is intact because I work with some of the world's greatest athletes. But now it's like, I have to go to the beach. I'm from the Caribbean. I have a scar. So how do I do that? So we're always battling. We're always trying to make sense out of our experiences. So it's really a matter of, sometimes we have to be brave. Sometimes we just have to, all the eyes that are judging us and looking at us and saying, they have issues as well. So we have to know that everyone is, that's the nature of being a human being. We all have issues.
Right.
And no one's issue is really more significant than yours and then ours. Yeah, so we just have to live within our own experiences and be brave and bold about it.
And maybe not care so much,
and not,
right?
Yeah, because we all have issues. Right. So for me, it is just, again, claiming who you are and knowing what you are, the beauty that is inside of you that is more significant than these images that you see out there and how we are judged.
Well, Abby, let me go back to you because I'm also thinking about the gym and all the mirrors. I mean, I guess the truth of the matter is that no one really is looking at you, right? They're looking at themselves.
Absolutely. I see it in all my group exercise classes, and I've had to pull some people into the class, and I'm like, just try it. Just try it out. And no one is looking at anyone else. And if they are, they might be like, oh, wow, she can lift that much weight? Like, I'm going to get up to that level. I see it more in a motivational style rather than a judgment zone.
Right.
But I think that, again, you have to find your fit. If you walk into a gym and the vibe is just not good for you, like, that it's not the place for you, try something else. Don't even bother. Like, everyone has their fit in the fitness world. You just have to find it, which is the hardest part.
Well, let me ask you about the basic things. I talked about, the 10,000 steps a day. What about just walking? I mean, is that fitness and exercise? Does
Absolutely.
That fit our definition?
That is my mother to a T. She has her walking group and they go out. My mom doesn't belong to a gym and she's in fantastic shape. There's so many ways around it. You don't have to pay the money to join something or somewhere. Walking is fantastic. So walking is one of the best exercises you can do. It's good for the body. And, a lot of people are doing more and more at-home workouts.
Right.
I've found a lot of great YouTube videos that, are led by certified instructors and trainers. And they're great, too. So even if you get a little group going to have that accountability mm-hmm. there.
Mm-hmm. And how important is group, or at least someone to either
that's
hold
a
your feet to the
support.
Fire?
The
Go
social
ahead, social
support.
Support, Margaret.
Yeah, you know, and that's for those of us who are just on the couch flipping channels mm-hmm. on social media.
There's so much on TV.
So, you know, sometimes you just want, you know, like I walk with my neighbor. Yeah, and it's just two of us. I mean, we walk and we talk and we burn some calories, calories in, calories out.
Yeah.
So we burn some. So, and that comes with the steps too. So even if you can put that little
Fitbit
or
tracker. So without even realizing it, you have gathered a whole number of steps. Yeah. So it should be something that there's so much you can have that buddy part that having a buddy. You can have someone who, like family members, join you. It's the same thing that you hear the nutritionist is saying, you know, like that you can only afford to have just one pot, yeah, as far as cooking. So you can't cook a meal, oh, this one is a vegetarian, that one is a vegetarian. But you can find that happy medium mm-hmm. and cook a healthy meal for the whole family. So it's the same thing. In doing things together, it gives you the motivation. You have the pleasure, because that's what we're looking for, the internal motivation mm-hmm. versus the external. If we could get to that, then
we're
beautiful.
It's beautiful, and we've sort of gone over that edge. I mean, you're a personal trainer. I'm sure they come in all different kinds of approaches. What's your approach? Are you tough? Or are you?
See, I started personal training when I was an undergrad at Temple. And I kind of fell into the category of I was the trainer for the people that have never stepped into the gym before. So I kind of you have to find, as a trainer, you have to find your niche too. It's hard to train, you know, a variety of people when you have your style. So I do very well with the people that are like, oh, I don't know about this whole thing. And
are you the kind that says, you can do it? I know you're
absolutely
positive.
Absolutely. Positive. And they need that. I find that they need the accountability. They need the motivation. And they want that, like, partnership almost.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's times where I'll do part of the workout with my client to push them a little bit further and say, like, you got this. You got mm-hmm. this. But, yeah, and then they have a lot of questions too. They always have so many questions. And, you know, if you are that kind of person, if you are stepping into the gym for the first time, a trainer, you know, if financially you can afford it, trainer mm-hmm. is a great place to start, because there is so much to learn. You mm-hmm. know, if you're going to step into a gym, walk on the treadmill, how long is that going to last, you know?
Well, so that's a good question. Let's take a very short break. That's Abby Hartnett, Recreation and Fitness Coordinator at Thomas Jefferson University here in Philadelphia. Margaret Otley, Professor of Sports Psychology at Westchester University School of Kinesiology. And we are talking about the steps, the baby steps of trying to get back into shape. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss Cohen, talking with Margaret Otley and Abby Hartnett about getting back into shape. There are, of course, lots of reasons. Perhaps excuses is a better word, not to exercise. You're too busy. You're too tired. You're too out of shape. You don't want to be seen at the gym. It's boring. But, of course, it's never too late to get fit, to be more active. And that's what we're talking about with our guests, which is how to get motivated, how to get started, and, of course, how to sustain a level of activity that's healthy for you. 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me read a tweet from Kevin. He says, I went from couch potato to six-time Ironman finisher, marathoner, and more.
Yeah.
Anything is possible.
That's
great. An applause from Margaret. But I think for a lot of people, that's not going to happen.
He's an overachiever.
Right? He's an overachiever. And he did it. But most people are not going to be marathoners, right?
And we don't need them to be.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of finding the thing.
To move. Yes. They need to move. And they need to enjoy doing it.
And I hear that from both of you, which is it's important to find that thing that gives you pleasure. Because why would you want to do something that doesn't?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And like Margaret said earlier, exercise is medicine. And I want to use that more because it truly is.
Yeah.
And I've seen it work that way for a lot of people. I mean, the complaint that, oh, this hurts, that hurts, this hurts. You know, honestly, exercise can fix that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, poor sleep. Like, there's tons of benefits.
Your moods, depression, anxiety.
Yeah. And so many people just, they wait for those physical changes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not seeing in the mirror yet. I'm not seeing in the mirror.
Great point.
That doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
It might take someone a year to see a change.
Right.
Everyone's body is different, too. But where do you see benefits elsewhere in your life? I mean, that's what I always tell people, too.
Beyond just sort of what you look like in the mirror, but do you sleep better? Do you feel better?
Do you have more energy?
Do you have more energy?
Yeah. I will go to her.
Yeah. Yeah, right, right. Do you suggest, let's say someone, Margaret, really just, you know, has not exercised in years.
Right.
Do you suggest they go to a doctor first, for instance, just to
definitely
sort of check out
a physical, get the physical out of the way. You get to know what your limitations are, how much you can push, or you can share that information with your exercise leader, your fitness specialist, so that you know everyone is on the same page, and to have that regular checkup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we talk about baby steps, I mean, you do hear some people, let's say they're overweight and they just haven't exercised in a while, that sometimes a baby step is just a short walk, right?
I mean, how
baby, I guess, can the baby steps be?
Well, for me, I like going into the intrinsic self.
Right.
It's really about getting to know who you are, because with all of the everything that is going on in the world right now, we get kind of get lost and we just want to survive. But I believe we are natural winners from conception. We were winners. We're the ones that won the egg. Yeah,
and we won the egg.
We won the egg.
We did, actually, when you think about it. Yes.
Yeah, we are natural. We are born, and we are forgetting that. We're forgetting that we have the ability to have mastery at something that we love doing. And that is what exercise would do. It gives us that sense of accomplishment, that pride, whether it's just feeling good or having a better night rest. Yeah. So I like to go through the energy centers and so that they can understand that we are truly the rainbow people.
Mm.
Yeah. We are really, because, you know, from the first energy center, you know, which is grounding, we are losing it. We, you know, too much, you know, all the pressure and the stress that's out there. 70% of the diseases that we have, you know, is stress related. So it's really about trying to ground ourselves, this whole, you know, and I have them breed into these energy centers so that they could become more familiar with self.
Well, I think you pick up on a good point, which is how sometimes disconnected we can feel from our body. I mean, we don't necessarily always know sort of how we actually do feel about something.
Right, and we allow other people to define us.
Let me get very sort of concrete with you, Abby, in terms of just the sort of basics of getting back in shape. Things like stretching and what do you suggest people do just as the kind of basics of that first step back into a more fit life?
So the one thing I will say is that you never want to do it alone. If you don't know what you're doing, don't make an attempt to try without some sort of guidance. So step one, find that guidance. Find someone who's going to, whether it be, you know, someone else in the gym that...
A partner of some sort?
Yeah, a partner of some sort, whether it's an employee of the gym that can just kind of guide you through. A lot of gyms will give you like an exercise consultation. So they'll give you a lot... They oftentimes offer free consultations, and they can also walk you through the gym and show you how to use different machines.
Right.
Now, if this is something you're starting at home, let's say your first step is to go on walks. Walking is great. You know, you don't really need to warm up for that.
Mm-hmm.
Stretching at the end is super important, and you know, you can find proper stretching techniques online everywhere.
You semi-trash treadmills right before break here.
I
What's
did.
Your problem
Nothing
with treadmills?
Treadmills?
I mean, I sort of get it, but anyway.
I ran a half marathon. I'm a retired runner. I'm done with that. But I think that's only, you know, getting on a machine, first thing to hop on a machine. Oftentimes, people need that. People need that to be their first step because there's not much you can do wrong. You can't walk on a treadmill wrong. You can't necessarily run on a treadmill incorrectly. Same goes with the elliptical or the steppers or the bikes. There's very few things that you can do wrong. So that's a good first step.
Right.
But it's not necessarily a lasting first step.
Is it because it's boring?
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard a lot of people admit it. You know, if you truly love doing that, then that's fantastic. If that is your exercise passion to do that, then go for it. Right. If that's what you're doing as, you know, like, all right, I'm getting into this. This is what I'm doing now. I encourage you to do that and then keep searching. Keep searching for like the next step. Keep searching for, okay, I'm going to try this next. I'm going to step foot in this group exercise class. Maybe I'll talk to the personal trainer there. Or maybe I'll check out this Zumba gym down the street. So keep searching because you're only going to get so far on a treadmill.
On a treadmill. Yeah. And how much is boring? I mean, people saying, Margaret, this is boring. How much is that a factor?
Well, I was listening to Abby, you know, and I'm getting this image that's popping up with me at the Y, you know, and I'm on, you know, my little step machine, and I'm seeing someone running on a treadmill and running really hard, and the feet are hitting really, and I'm like, oh, I'm tired. I'm just tired watching, that person was really loving it. They were enjoying it, and you know, and they have bikes now with all the scenery and all of that.
They do have
but
that.
For me, that's not my thing. In fact, I've never been on a treadmill.
It's okay.
But that's why I keep going back to you got to do something that you really enjoy. You can't go wrong with movement, whether it's dancing, ballroom dancing, it's, you know, doing the cha-cha-cha, you know, something fun, because music is an integral part of our movement as well. So, and then you get that social effect as well, the social support. So join a group. If you're in a reading group, you know, you go with what works already, what is already established. So if you are in a reading group, have them, you know, go on a trail walk and
talk.
Yeah, and then you can actually organize it and make it, put it on a calendar every Tuesday. This is what you'll do every.
Funny you say that. My mom is a preschool director, and she gathers all the teachers. Mm-hmm. I think they have like a lunchtime break.
Yes.
And one is a certified Zumba instructor. And she's like, all right, everyone, Zumba time. And they just do Zumba for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Get moving, you know.
Yeah.
It's easy. So.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You don't have to work out for.
Well, that's
an
the
hour,
other thing, right, where I think the people get think I'm just never going to do that. Let me just quickly reintroduce the two of you. Margaret Ottley, professor of sports and exercise psychology at Westchester University. Also with us, Abby Hartnett, recreation and fitness coordinator at Thomas Jefferson University. And the weather is lovely outside. It's getting warm. People want to get in shape. They're thinking about going to the beach. So we're talking about some of the how to overcome some of the psychological and even physical barriers of getting back into shape. 1-888-477-9499. Got a bunch of emails here, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me get Rachel from Elkins Park to join us. Rachel, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. So my problem relates to what you just said about the weather. During the summer, I feel like I'm in my best shape. There are amazing fresh fruits in the stores. All of the food is fresh. I can make dinner late at night and grill. But as a working mom, those longer days really help me out. I also can walk outside. I can swim late at night. Then we move into fall and winter.
Right.
And I always swear that I will keep up with the routine. You know, I'll go for an 8 o'clock at night swim. And 8 o'clock comes around and I'm exhausted. I don't want to walk outside because it's too cold out. And I feel like I really have a hard time motivating myself to keep that summer fitness gain that I make and summer health gain. As the weather gets cold, the days get shorter, and school starts, and I need to focus in on my family.
Sure. No, Rachel, I think you're not alone here. I'm going to toss this first to Margaret.
Yeah, this is, and I love the situation because a lot of people listening most likely would have the same situation. You have family, you have work, you have fatigue, and we know that as well that since exercise is medicine, even when you're fatigued, you get energy when you exercise. So it's really about information and understanding how to first form your attitude, a good attitude towards exercise. And really it's because of it's a knowledge of knowing how it helps you.
Mm. But maybe don't go swimming at 8 o'clock at night in January. I'm thinking of Rachel's call. Do something else?
Well, there are things that you could do right in the home, yeah? And, Abby talked about a video, you know, just finding a time. And it doesn't have to be, as you say, an hour. It could be just 15 minutes. You get a little space. You have whoever is in support in that support system around you. They will take care of the kids, but this is your me time. You must make a conscious decision to have me time. Caregivers usually, you'd find that caregivers sometimes pass before the patient that they're taking care of.
Sure. No, I think that's absolutely true.
Decide to have the me time.
And Abby, I think a lot of people feel like Rachel. I certainly do when winter rolls around. You just sort of more feel like hibernating. And I think you are less active for lots of weather-related reasons and the
Absolutely.
Cold temperatures.
Yeah. And this is where I would say if you seem to have your regimen down, for the nice months of the year. So it seems like you do need a little push in the winter months. So that's where I would encourage you to, keep searching. Search for that gym that you fit in that most likely has like a monthly pass. So maybe you join a dance studio and you have 4 months, 4 or 5 months. And that's what you do during that time. And I'm sure they have classes at, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
And you make that, just add that into your plan. So someone else needs to be telling you what to do during those months, pretty much. That would be my advice.
And
I'm in the same boat, believe me.
So am I.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You get the babysitter. Get a babysitter. But.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling into Radio Times. A tweet from Liz. She says, I was exercising 3 times a week but got discouraged when I was told I may be healthy but not fit. And that's just a quote there from Liz. And I mean, I think the idea, perhaps people do this thinking, well, I'm going to lose a lot of weight and then I'm going to be really thin and look, look really strong and thin. But it seems, Margaret, that doesn't always work out. I mean, sometimes exercise is just being healthy.
Yeah, it is. And that's really the most important thing, being healthy. Not fit, it's how do you define fitness, really? I know that we have, and Abby could add on what fitness really looks like. But it's really about being healthy. It's really continuing to move. If you are doing the right thing, And you're exercising, you're taking up your heartbeat like 50% or just close to a sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get the
Sweating's
heart rate,
good.
Get the heart rate, go up. I think you're doing, continue doing it because there are so many other benefits. That is working because you are healthy.
The fact that you're doing this means you're healthier.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's because we're doing that self comparison with others, and then we feel like, oh, but I'm not losing the weight I need to lose. But it's slower for some people than others, and it will take time, as you say, sometimes a year. Sometimes, but be persistent. Yeah, don't let it discourage you. Just be persistent.
Let me ask you, Abby, about weights. I mean, how important that is, and maybe even as people age, how important is that to fitness, health, exercise?
Absolutely. And this kind of goes along with the treadmill thing. You're improving your cardiovascular endurance on a treadmill, but you're missing out on the weight training and the muscular endurance. And that is super important more and more as you age, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, if that is not part of your exercise regimen right now, you definitely want to add in weight training. Two times a week is a good mm-hmm. starting place for sure. But that is where you definitely want guidance as well. Mm-hmm. So that's where I would encourage people to attend a group exercise class, make sure form is correct. Because anytime you're adding weight-bearing exercises or weight to the exercises that you're doing, if you're doing them incorrectly, it puts pressure in the wrong places on your joints. So definitely guidance there, but weight training is very important.
And it's a big part of your body image, too, because yes. you start seeing the muscles.
Yeah. And the whole thing of women getting bulky when they lift weights. Yeah. Get that out of your mind. That's
well, you have to lift a lot of weight to get bulky, don't you?
Yeah. And everyone's body is different. The way people react to adding weight training into their regimen is going to be different for every single person.
Yeah. But as you say, it's extremely important. I have discovered that.
It's important.
With your own self.
As I grow older. Yeah, you need that muscle. You need the muscle that's hold on, and then because we do talk about that we don't like our bodies and how it looks in front of the mirror. Weight training, just adding a little. That's my motivation for going to the gym. As much as I like,
look
don't
in the mirror?
Like going to the gym, it is to do the weight.
Yeah.
And I do have someone that would help me with the machine mm-hmm. so that mm-hmm. the form, because incorrect form, we know that could cause injury.
Exactly.
So. Well, let's take another short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation talking about deciding finally, eventually, to get back into shape, to get more fit, to get more active. And again, talking with Abby Hartnett, Recreation and Fitness Coordinator at Thomas Jefferson University, Certified Group Exercise Instructor and Personal Trainer. And Margaret Otley, she's Professor of Sports and Exercise Psychology at Westchester University. She advised the Olympic teams of the U.S. and Trinidad and Tobago, a member of the board of the Black Women in Sport Foundation, and a certified consultant with AASP, that's the Association for Applied Sports Psychology. 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, talking with Abby Hartnett and Margaret Otley about getting back into shape. Let me get Nick from Middletown, Delaware, to join us on Radio Times. And Nick, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I belong to a text group for biking and running, and we meet twice a week at 5:30, one day at a track and another day just to run in the neighborhoods. But I guess my point is, as much as I like running and biking, at 4:30 in the morning when the alarm goes off, if it's just me that's going out there, I'm rolling over and going back to bed.
Of course you are, Nick, right.
But the power of the group, even like if it's questionable weather, it gets you out there.
Mm-hmm. And because if you don't show up, Nick, what happens?
Well, there's no real penalties other than some serious ribbing, but I mean, it doesn't happen that often. You'd be surprised.
Well, that kind of reinforces what we've been talking about, Margaret.
Yeah, certainly. And I love the term you use, the power of the group. Yeah, that is that sense of belonging. And it's not very, sometimes we are in places and we want people with like minds. Sometimes it's lacking. But it is definitely a motivation for you. I think it's, and I tell my elite athletes this all the time, when they're preparing, like right now we're preparing for Rio Olympics, mm-hmm. and it's get your inner circle small, and that's the whole group concept.
Say that again. What does that mean?
The inner circle.
Yes.
Those are the people who would support you, your support system. Because it could get crazy, especially if you're a super elite athlete. You have the media, you have, and while they are great at helping you become more and more visible, it could also be a distraction. So to keep focus and to keep your goals set, your job is my athlete's job is to get to the Olympics and do well. So they don't need to have all the stimuli out there that they're paying attention to. So you get a small circle. And this is exactly what Nick is saying. That small circle, like minds, and they are achieving this particular goal, And it's all about support, you know. They trash talk each other, they but they love each other, you know. It's a little circle inside.
Yeah, absolutely.
Power circle, I love it.
Nick, thanks for calling into Radio Times. Abby, I'm thinking about those people that are just getting back to some kind of exercise program. I mean, you're going to feel it, right? Your muscles, I mean, they may be a little sore.
Oh, absolutely.
That's to be expected.
Yes. And don't let that discourage you. And, you know, as much as we're saying exercise is important, rest is just as important. I have seen people, you know, go all in 7 days a week, and then I don't see them for a little while.
Because they've hurt themselves.
What are you doing? And they're like, oh, well, I've just been so, you know, tired. And I'm like, well, you overworked. You know, if you're just getting back into things, do not think you need to go every single day during the week. Shoot for 2 days. And yeah, you're going to feel it. If you work out on Monday and you're hurting the next day, and then maybe even Wednesday you're hurting, make your second day Thursday or Friday. Don't push yourself too much if you're just starting.
So yeah, a hurt meaning that if it hurts.
Soreness. Right. Now, muscle soreness and pain are two different things.
Right.
So
right.
you want to know the difference between that. And you'll feel the muscle soreness based on what you were working the day
it's
prior.
It's part of the healing process.
It
breaks down.
It does,
you know,
and
the muscles. And
it's your muscles repairing itself because you worked them.
Make you build. And that's what makes
so
you
it's
get
all good.
Cut
it's a,
and
it's
beautiful.
A good thing. It's
yeah.
a good thing.
But
it
you
is.
Must rest.
But you do.
For it
you
to happen.
Rest.
Yeah.
And if you've
and
injured yourself, it's a different kind of pain. I mean,
yeah,
that
meant, as Abby say, you've
yes.
gone too far,
right.
You know, and it's a gradual thing. Your body is you have to teach the body how
mm-hmm.
to how to deal with the stress of exercise to benefit from it.
Nick, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Let's get Brenda from Mount Airy to join our conversation. And Brenda, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi there.
I'm wondering if you have any specific recommendations for seniors recovering from stroke. Getting fit again.
Are you talking about yourself, Brenda, or someone that you know?
No, my mother.
Oh, your mother. And how old is your mom?
She's 76.
She's 76, had a stroke, and she's recovering?
Yes, she's recovering. She's living in personal care. She tries walking the hallways where she lives,
right.
And there are avenues available to her there. But it does seem to myself and my sisters that she's gaining more weight than we would expect, given the circumstances.
I got you. Abby, any ideas for older? I mean, this is specifically someone
yeah.
recovering from a stroke, but just for older people to think about exercise or
yeah,
getting
so
back
in terms
exercise?
Of recovering from a stroke, I am not familiar in that category at all. So I don't want to guide you the wrong way. But if you're older and getting back into exercise, definitely seek out guidance. I think guidance is
don't do this
most
by yourself.
Important there. No, because your body changes as you get older, and you know if there's been any sort of period where you haven't exercised in your older years, your body has most likely gone through even more change. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, walking is fantastic. Walking is great. I know there's a lot of, you know, chair classes going on now,
yes,
and stuff like that.
Yes.
But again, you know, weight bearing exercises is still important. Resistance training is still important.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that shouldn't go
sure.
away.
Sure.
But definitely take things down a notch and then work your way up to
yeah.
see where you can get to.
And Brenda,
yeah.
it sounds like you should talk to someone where your mom is and
definitely.
Get some more direct guidance. Margaret, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, what is a good thing, and I know caregiving it's strenuous for anyone, so congratulations to you for being so attentive and taking care of your mom, because that's what she needs.
Yeah.
You may have, you know, think about getting a dietitian, or someone who can, because now she's not moving, she has to be very mindful of what she eats,
yeah.
so that the body can break down the foods without
yeah.
moving.
Brenda, thanks for the call to Radio Times. An email from Susan, I can't read the whole thing, but she says, my mother taught me that it was not ladylike to sweat. Is that, and then she's an older woman, so,
oh.
I mean, have we gotten beyond that, Abby?
That's so funny because I was teaching a class. It was called
glowing. Women don't sweat, they glow.
I think the new thing is we don't sweat, we sparkle.
Is that what it is?
Shirts with that on it. Yeah. But it was funny. Someone came into one of my group exercise classes and worked at their minimum. And I heard her say to her friend, yeah, I'm not going to like work that hard because I don't like sweating.
Oh.
And I was like, but sweat is the way of your body, you know, saying you're working hard and releasing toxins and, you know, that's funny,
sweat, right?
But I think sweat is really good and I think we should all do it.
I'm an advocate for it as well. I mean, so maybe you do need to redefine it, you know. It's not sweat, it's glowing or it's sparkling.
It's sparkling. Yeah,
but you need to do it. And times have changed. I mean, I have some of my students when we're having fun at Westchester, you know, they would talk about their hair, you know, mess up their hairdo.
Dry shampoo.
It's all fixable.
There's ways around it these days.
Yeah, but go brave for the sweat. For the sparkle, sorry.
We have another caller from Mount Airy. This is Scott. Scott, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi.
Hi there.
I had a question around group motivation.
Yes.
A gentleman had called about that earlier. I've noticed that it can cut both ways. A friend of mine had a pact to exercise, and we would text each other to let each other know what we were doing. And when one of us would fail, we found it very disheartening, and there were negative side effects on us individually when the other person didn't succeed. I was wondering if you'd noticed that sort of double-edged sort of the group motivation and pitfall or ways to get around those sort of pitfalls.
I mean, sounds like Scott, you're saying is if you or someone else didn't show up or do what you said you were going to do, what, there was trash talk or is even worse than that?
Not so much trash talk. I mean, we were supportive of each other, but it kind of, you know, whenever you're trying to accomplish something, failure can sort of lead to a disheartening cycle. And so when one of us failed, it sort of created the feeling that, oh, you know, like we can't do this. So not only does your own failure then sort of get you into this cycle of feeling like you can't accomplish something, but someone else's does now too.
I got you. Well, we haven't really talked about failure, Margaret. I'll start with you, but Abby as well, which is maybe people, I don't know what Scott's situation is, are too ambitious. I mean, they take on more than they can actually deal with, so they end up failing.
Yeah. That's a big topic. We can just talk, for an hour on that. So let me just try to nip it,
sure.
Give the best that I possibly can. Because what you're talking about is dealing with loss. One of the things that you have to do, that may help you in your situation is understanding and redefining what failure, what it means. Failure is something that, there are a lot of lessons in losing. There are a lot of lessons in not doing well. It gives you an idea of how you measure up against whoever you're competing with. It tells you how you can go back and practice and what you need to work on and how to pace yourself in order. So a lot of times we think about the outcome. And then we judge all our hard work. But there are so many great things that happen inside of the activity that you're totally not focusing on. So get away. Look at the process and not the outcome, because there are great things that's happening in the process and great lessons to learn in order to come again and persist in the face of failure.
Well, and it seems like we are all so results-oriented, and you're saying, wait a minute, there are things to learn along the way that could be helpful.
A lot of great things, yeah. So kind of again, just go back one step at a time and look at what you are doing well and using the things that you didn't do well to really help you strengthen it and get better. But focus on your strengths. And that's what I tell my athletes, that is your strengths that you're focusing on, and build your strengths, and the rest will take care of itself.
Anything, Abby, you want to add to that?
I think in Scott's situation, maybe, sometimes people have different goals. I don't know if that's if that's one of the issues here or not. But again, and maybe like you said, they are being a little a little too ambitious if that's what's happening. So definitely take a few steps back. And even, you know, when you do set your next goal, maybe set a couple before that so you can assure that, you know, that failure might not come so quickly. Hopefully not at all.
Right. Or maybe, we said get rid of the word sweat. Maybe we can get rid of a different word, failure.
Yeah.
Substitute
yeah.
something else for
yeah,
that.
I mean, that is something that I learned from Michael Jordan, you know, and he said, hey, listen, he's not going to bring his A game every day, you know, but right. it's possible that his 80% could be better than somebody's 100% on any given day. But he used it as, if he loses, he used it as a, you know, as information. Got her in.
Rather than beating himself
right,
up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me see what Barry from Haddonfield has to say. Barry, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm really appreciating the show.
Sure.
My question is this. I don't really do anything consistently. I'm almost 70, and I do enjoy gardening and actually pulling weeds. If I did that for a half an hour or whatever, work up a little sweat, is that the equivalent of walking for half an hour?
Well, I'm going to put that to Abby. Pulling weeds, especially after it rains, right, Barry?
Well, when would you like to come over, first of all, because right. the backyard.
I could use some weeding.
Anyway. I love that.
Another thing we haven't talked about is hitting a plateau. So I don't know how long you've been gardening, but if you've been gardening consistently for, you know, over a couple years, you've probably hit your gardening plateau. And what that means is you probably can't use gardening as a form of exercise.
Oh, why is that?
Now, it can be used as a form of exercise, but you're not stepping out of your comfort zone.
Ah.
So, yes, you're going to burn calories. Yes, you are, you know, you're going to work up a sweat. But in terms of, you know, and I don't know what your goals are, but if you want to see any more changes from exercise, you're probably not going to see that from continuing to just garden and garden be your only form of exercise. For example, like comparing it to running, you know, you plateau at a certain point of running. If you're running the same speed, the same distance, that's only going to do so much for your body because it becomes comfortable at a certain point. It becomes to the point where, okay, I can hold a conversation while I'm running. Am I really stepping it outside of my comfort zone? So it just depends what your goals are. If you just want to stay healthy and, you know, that be it, then gardening is sufficient. If you want to see further changes, I would add something else into there.
Let me finish with an email from Tony. He says, until I met my wife, I had neglected aerobic for my entire adult life. She got me into playing squash, and it's become a major bonding couples activity. I've gone from 15 minutes, and I was exhausted, to 1.5 hours, and I'm still feeling good. We talk about our competition and squash battles all the time. It's one of the best things about our life. I mean, this is that's you
great.
Know, nice to end
it's,
on a, on
that's
a happy
beautiful.
Note.
I love it. And
with
you know,
who you love.
And with who you love, you know. And that's what it's all about. That's what life is about.
Well, my thanks to both of you for joining us today in Radio Times. Margaret Otley, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And good luck at the Rio Olympics as well.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. Professor of Sports and Exercise Psychology at Westchester University. Abby Hartman, thank you for joining us as
thank
well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Recreation and Fitness Coordinator at Thomas Jefferson University. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times. You can download a podcast of the show, find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. In fact, we posted some Facebook pictures today of our guests. Adam Staniszewski, our engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, Nick Kowalski on the telephones, and Susan Greenbaum helping us out today. Debbie Bilder, Emily Bryant, John Ahrens, and Liz Fiedler produce Radio Times. I'm Marty Moscowen. Thank you so much for joining us.